Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd at Season 8, Episode 24. And Dave and I are coming at you a little bit of a different time frame right now. I've got a 6 a.m. flight on Friday morning heading up to the Boston area to talk to some folks about some business things and a birthday party over the weekend. So Dave was kind enough to adjust his schedule. We are coming at you Thursday night with some college and pro football on the television. Probably not much going to be different from when we normally do it early Eastern time on Friday morning. But just so you know, it's Thursday night our time. And once again, thank you for all the wonderfully kind emails we've gotten from overseas. We've heard from people in some places we hadn't heard from before, Panama. We got a little insight into China. We heard from somebody who'd been to India and heard us there. A bunch from the UK and a bunch of other places. And I promise one of these podcasts, I'm going to have a list of names and places, and I'm also going to try and put something up on Steelers Depot. So thanks again for that. And Dave, I appreciate you readjusting your schedule. I know cutting out time during the week is always difficult.
No problem. We are always writing at Steelers Depot or researching doing so, watching tape. You name it, football related, and I'm trying to do it when I'm not on this podcast.
All right, so let's get to it, Dave. The injury report came out today, and it wasn't wonderful, but I think it was along the lines of what we expected. And you know, best guess here with Marcus Gilbert, as I mentioned on Wednesday, and T.J. Watt not participating today. Got to think it's probably unlikely for those two guys to see action on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, T.J. Watt had been listed as limited. I think it was on Wednesday. Did not practice on Thursday, and with a rookie, especially, that's definitely going in the wrong direction. Marcus Gilbert with that hamstring doesn't sound like he's going to play. So it sounds like Chris Hubbard will get to start at right tackle. And look, Chris Hubbard is, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. But right tackle seems to be his best position there. If Gilbert is indeed down, I would expect Matt Filer to get the helmet, get Gilbert's helmet there and serve as the emergency or the third, you know, the next tackle off the bench, if you will. Now Filer, remember, if for those of you that watched all the preseason games, Matt Filer has played tackle in the past, but this past preseason he only played right and left guard. So let's just hope that we don't have to see Matt Filer play any snaps against the Bears. The rest of the injury report, Jesse James with that ankle was limited for a second day in a row. I'm going to guess that he plays. And then practicing fully on Thursday were Darius Heyward-Bey, Marquise Pouncey, Ben Roethlisberger, Bud Dupree, Stephon Tuitt, Gerald Hawkins, and safety J.J. Wilcox. Now, Wilcox, of course, missed that game against the Vikings with a concussion. Tua, of course, missed the game with the biceps. Him practicing fully on a Thursday is a good sign. As long as he doesn't have any setbacks now, he should be good to go. And, you know, Heyward-Bey and Marquise Pouncey were out on Wednesday. They were back Thursday. Ben Roethlisberger had been given the day off on Wednesday. And looks like Bud Dupree's still okay to go, too. So I think it's pretty cut and dry right now as we sit here and look at potential inactive list. I would expect Dobbs, Gilbert, Watt, Justin Hunter, Hawkins. Let's see there.
Allen.
Brian Allen and Daniel McCullers. That should do it right there. That should be your second.
Yeah. I'm with you on those guys, and I'm just trying to remember, has Matt Filer ever dressed for a game before? He hasn't, has he?
I don't think he has, David. If he did last year, he obviously probably didn't play. I'm trying to recall if he did, if he got called up and had to dress for a game. is just showing no
game. Yeah, I don't think he has. So that would be a big moment for him. Obviously, we saw in the opener, you see all the rookies who were getting the first action for Brian Allen. He didn't dress in the opener. He dresses in week two. And so, Filer, this could be his first opportunity to get some action. Dave, you know, the one of the stories out of the week has been this James Harrison thing. And we talked a little bit about Mike. And I just want to go back because some of our listeners have asked about kind of, you know, does James know what's going on and what's the status? Look, right now, I think it's simple to say that and this is one of the things I've always appreciated about Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. And we saw it in camp this year with the performance of Terrell Watson at running back and the performance of Mike Hilton actually gaining essentially what's turned out to be a starting spot in what is the Steelers-based defense, the nickel, is if you perform, you're going to get a chance to play. And I don't think it was any kind of knock on James Harrison that he didn't get snaps really in either of the first two games. It was a T.J. Watt and Anthony Ciccolo performed at a high enough level that the Steelers didn't want to make changes. And the reason the past couple of years the Steelers have been going with an outside linebacker rotation, particularly on that right side, is because they're waiting for Jarvis Jones to take a step forward and kind of seize that job. And if Jarvis Jones had done that, trust me, James Harrison might not be around this year. He might not have been around last year. But the point is, James Harrison was well on the field just as, if not more effective than Jarvis Jones. So they kept giving Jones opportunities, and Harrison kept deserving playing time. And I think now the situation is just a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Matt Filer did dress one game last year, the game against the Jets. What was that, week five?
Five or so. That was the Sammy Coates game.
Yeah, remember Gilbert had that ankle in the Chiefs game, or was it before that? Might have been the game before that, because I think that was – I can't remember if that's – yeah, I think it was the Chiefs game that Gilbert hurt his ankle in and then, like, missed the next couple. And, they promoted Filer from the practice squad, and then he dressed for that game against the Jets but did not play. But back to Harrison. You know, if you're a Steelers fan, this should be okay with you. You know, it's a sign that, hey, they're feeling a lot more comfortable being able to move on from 39-year-old Harrison. Now, does that mean that, you know, they can't use Harrison throughout the season? Absolutely not. And it'll be interesting to see if T.J. Watt is indeed down against the Vikings – I mean, against the Bears on Sunday. You know, is it going to be Ciccolo playing – you know, all the snaps over there? Is he going to rotate with James Harrison on that side? I'm going to venture a guess now, and guessing that Watt will be down, that Harrison might play a little bit more than the four snaps that he played in the opener against the Browns. Maybe not much more, but it would make sense to you know, give Ciccolo a breather here and there in the game against the Bears there. But rest assured, you're going to have four outside linebackers dressed. Moats will be, your number four, along with Harrison being number three. But at the same time, I think Dupree and Ciccolo get the starts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's how it'll be. And so now we look at this, and the Steelers go on the road again, and we've talked. It's going to be we can talk about whether what the term narrative means. Oftentimes we use it to mean something that's not actually true. But the narrative around Ben's performance and the Steelers' offense performance home and road is a very true thing. And obviously the reason that's important is that's the guys who are actually playing the game. I mean, the guys who were been here the past 2 years are still the guys who are the core of the Steelers' offense. The stuff about winning in Soldier Field and the Steelers not playing well there in their history, that stuff's irrelevant, particularly when you're talking about an NFC team where you play in their stadium once every 8 years. So there's no continuity of players to look back and say, oh, this is where they have difficulty. You know, everybody but a couple of these guys will have never been in that stadium to play a game before. So that, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't matter. Dave, this is a game against this Bears team that is nondescript. I mean, this is as nondescript a team as you will find. There's so few guys who are name guys, who are pedigree guys, who've actually accomplished a lot in the league. If you're Todd Haley and you're Ben Roethlisberger, What's the objective of this game going in? What do you think they're thinking is going to be their way to take advantage of the Bears from an offensive perspective?
Well, I think you want to try to run for sure against that. You want to test that defense. If I'm the Bears, I'm going to look at this the other way. If I'm the Bears, I don't want to give up the big play. So, you know, I might play some two deep, or, you know, and just try to bracket everything as best as I can, because I don't want Antonio Brown or Martavis Bryant to kill me. I don't think they have the personnel to aggressively kind of play the run per se the way the Browns and the Vikings.
Right, both those teams, but stout up front for sure.
Right, and, you know, you go back and look at that Vikings game, and defensively, you know, they had their gaffes, and they paid dearly for those gaffes, especially in the passing game. But, you know, overall, I thought they played the run, you know, reasonably well there. And if I'm them, I do my best. You just don't want those chunk plays against you. You want to force the Steelers into 10, 11, 12 play drives if they're going to score, not getting those 20, 30, 40 yard chunks at a time, because I don't think the Bears offense is built to really, you know, run and gun along with the Steelers there. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm probably going to come out depending on those fronts. I'm going to try to establish the run there against 3-4 front that they probably going to be in early downs. And typically the Steelers, you know, generally play, I think, pretty well against 3-4 fronts. You know, they obviously practice against, you know, a similar type scheme, you know, with what the Steelers run there. When you look at them top to bottom, and look, Akeem Hicks, their defensive end's kind of banged up this week. Eddie Goldman, a kid I really like coming out of college, has yet to establish himself. I can't tell you anything about Mitch Unrein, their other defensive end there. And then you look at, you know, their linebackers, and you'd be hard-pressed. I mean, everybody knows the name Leonard Floyd because of a recent draft, but, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, go through.
Yeah, Trefethen's a guy that people would be familiar with on those Denver Super Bowl defenses, and made a couple big plays. But you never, you know, he was a guy who, you, when you think about on that defense, you think about the secondary and you think about the edge rushers, and a guy like Trefethen was probably the beneficiary of a lot of guys around him. And the big news is, you know, the Bears, and we didn't mention this on Wednesday when we were talking with Eric Edholm, but Jarrell Freeman was really the captain, the star of this defense. He was their leading tackler last year. I think he had 110 tackles. And one of the things about Jarrell Freeman is, just in terms of, look, they're better inside guys like Luke Kuechly, and we can talk about Shazier and some other guys. There may not be a sounder tackler, a better tackler in the league at that position than Jarrell Freeman. He was a tackling machine for the Bears, and he tore his pec in that opening game against Atlanta and went on the IR. So that, you know, that's the probably their best defensive player goes down in week one. So that doesn't help things either.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you're talking about a guy like what's his name? Kwiatkowski, Nick Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, Kwiatkowski. Yeah, and he got hurt. Did he go? He's not on the IR, but he got hurt in week two. He replaced him, right?
Right. And he I don't think has practiced either of these 2 days, you know, so far. So, you know, that's something kind of
Kwiatkowski. Kwiatkowski is that. Okay.
Yeah, I always have problems with most names, not just names like that.
And Kwiatkowski, obviously, he went to West Virginia. I think I do think Eric mentioned him on Wednesday. But yeah, so Dave, we get to the secondary. And Mukamura is back, so he looks like he's going to be a go. Quinton Demps is a name. You know, I guess we can look in the secondary and say maybe a little bit more about the names that people will be familiar with. And Eddie Jackson was the fourth round pick, who looks like he's going to get some time. But again, you know, the reason Prince of Mukamura has played with four teams in the last 4 years or whatever it is because he just hasn't been that good.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't make plays. You know, he's not a turnover guy, and you know he's been beat with some big plays in the past as well too. And this will be his first game this season, assuming he starts, and it looks like he'll definitely suit up. You know, and as your buddy Eric Edholm told us the other day, Marcus Cooper probably isn't exactly what they thought he would be after spending time out there in Arizona either. And then you have guys you know backing up like Kyle Fuller, who's really not developed and battled. I think it's knee injuries that he's had.
And this is a guy. He's out of Virginia Tech, right? And he was a guy, you know, a couple of years ago that we talked about a possible, you know, guy the Steelers might look at in round number one. He was obviously gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, this defense. Let's put it to you this way. This won't be the kind of defense or the quality of defense the Steelers have faced in the first 2 weeks of the season here.
So this is basically just run the playbook. You've got, you know, you should have opportunity to run the ball, to throw the ball, do what you like, see what reads you get, and go after them. There is not – you don't have to tailor your scheme to this defense.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you can run some power. I mean, you do everything that you normally do, like you said. You know, you can run some RPOs. I mean, yeah, the whole playbook should be open, and I would expect them to take their shots down the field as usual. And, I mean, it should be no difference. We should recognize a lot of the stuff that the Steelers run on Sunday against the Bears, for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm with you 100%. I think so as well. So we go to the other side of the ball. And on the Bears injury report, we expect to see Kyle Long back for this one. So they'll have the, you know, is this their strength, their offensive line? The reason it's their strength is because nothing else is their strength. I mean, when your starting receivers are Kendall Wright and Marcus Wheaton, and you've got, the guys backing them up are guys you've never heard of, that is not a strong receiving core. And we saw with Cleveland even, you know, there was at least Corey Coleman and, you know, Ricardo Lewis. You toss it up in the air whether you think Cleveland or the Bears are maybe the weakest two weakest receiving cores in the NFL. So you've got that on the receiving core. We talked a lot on Wednesday about Jordan Howard and who he might be and what is Tariq Cohen, because he's, you know, is it a one-hit wonder game or is this guy, you know, a real change of pace back? So you've got that. You've got the offensive line. It comes back to Mike Glennon. And I'm going to play the other side of this because, you know, I take the side of some backup quarterbacks and people laugh at me. But Mike Glennon is a guy who can throw the football. And if you look at the tape of the first two games, one of the things about Mike Glennon is Mike Glennon wasn't horrible in these games. He didn't lose these games. I mean, he threw a pick six in the opener or to start week two. But Mike Glennon is a, as you might imagine from his physical statistics, as a big, not particularly mobile guy who has a good arm, is if you give him time in the pocket – you know, we saw this from his days at NC State all the way forward. If you give him time at the pocket and give him, you know, a chance to look at the field, he can make the necessary throws. See, a guy who's going to be a huge playmaker for you, is he going to scramble and buy time for himself? No, he's not going to do those types of things. So he is the quintessential kind of guy you'd like to have as a backup quarterback, a veteran guy. And that's kind of where they are with Trubisky. But he's not a horrible quarterback.
Well, here's the thing, and real quick on the offensive line, it looks like they're going to get Kyle Long back finally, but at the same time, Josh Sitton, their other guard, hasn't practiced the last 2 days, so he's not going to be 100% if he dresses at all. Bobby Massey at right tackle, man, this is a guy that Bud Dupree should just feast on, David. I mean,
again, yeah, week two for Bud. Sign him up.
I mean, he should feast on Bobby Massey and Leno over there on the other side. Yeah, Watt's not playing, but guys like Chicolo and James Harrison, we haven't even talked about Tuitt or Cameron Hayward. You know, this is just that offensive line's right for the picking. And, you know, you talk about the wide receivers, Marcus Wheaton's probably going to dress for the first time this year. I like that Deontay Thompson they have over there. He's made a few plays for him. They'll run some of that bunch stuff that the Steelers like to run with wide receivers and tight ends. They like those kind of the quick passes. They'll even line up Cohen out, so they'll do some empty sets. You could see that, and I don't know if the score really dictated that against the Buccaneers, but you know there's some empty set stuff on tape as well too. Now to Mike Glennon. I've studied the Bears offense a little bit more than I have the Bears defense, you know, ahead of this game and all. And let me tell you, you know, it's a tale of two quarterbacks when it comes to Mike Glennon on third down, and it's quite astonishing. Now, obviously, defense is the goal of every defense every week is to keep the opposing quarterback in as many third and long situations as you can. But when you get a guy like Mike Glennon in you know third and six or more, you can pretty much you know hopefully start walking off the field. There were 39 quarterbacks, David. Where's the total? 39 quarterbacks who have attempted at least 50 or more passes in third and six to third and 10 situations dating back to 2013. That was, of course, Glennon's rookie year. Glennon not only has the lowest completion percentage of that group, 44.3%, but the lowest traditional quarterback rating as well. So as you can imagine, his third down conversions on 6 to 10 yards to go is low, 26.9%, in fact. Additionally, David, his sack percentage on third down and 6 to 10 is 15.1%. It's the third highest of the aforementioned 39 quarterbacks that I studied. Now, you get him in third and six or longer, you're in good shape. Here's the thing. In third and 1 to 5 yards to go, he's a much better quarterback. In fact, when facing third downs with less than 6 yards to go, compared to those other 39 quarterbacks that I just referenced, Glennon has the highest completion percentage of that group, 70.5%, as well as the highest traditional quarterback rating, 123.1. His 52.7% conversion percentage in those situations is not only respectable, but slightly better than that of Ben Roethlisberger dating back to 2013. Now, here's the only thing that's a drawback with Glennon when talking about him facing third and 1 to 5 yards to go. He has a 17.6% sack percentage. That's unbelievable.
17. Yeah, once out of every six dropbacks, yep.
Boy, you're good with math there. I had to use a calculator for that. He's been dropped 13 times on 74 total dropbacks, not including scrambles so far during his career on third and one to third and five. So the key is with it, and here's the thing, you go back, you know, you want to talk about that game against the Steelers back in 2014 when Glennon beat them. The Steelers defense forced the Buccaneers offense into 13 third downs during that game. The 8 times that Glennon was faced third down needing 6 or more yards in the game, he only moved the chains twice. It's 25%. However, on the 5 third downs that needed 5 or less yards to go, he converted 4 of those with a pass. One of those being the final touchdown, the 5-yard touchdown to Vincent Jackson that came with 12 seconds left in the game, and the other third and short in that game was converted on a short run by a running back. So it goes without saying, I know it's a captain obvious thing here, but boy, it's a big difference when you get Mike Glennon in third and six or more, and you know that you want an easy kind of stat to keep up with folks while you watch the game. Count the third downs and the distance needed and how Glennon performs in those areas.
Yeah, it's good info there on Mike Glennon. And, you know, it'll be a simple thing here with Keith Butler. Now, we think about how the Steelers want to attack this Bears offense. They will play to stop the run and try to put the game in Mike Glennon's hands, kind of straightforward stuff. That's nothing new from Steeler defenses. But I think you will clearly see the way they've operated so far these first two games is they're going to show – you know, even though Glennon is, you know, quote unquote, a veteran quarterback, they are going to show Mike Glennon some different looks and they're going to bring guys from different spots. I mean, it's clear that the Steelers are very comfortable having Mike Hilton come in as a slot corner and come. And it's very clear that they're also willing to have Joe Hayden come. And we haven't seen Artie come yet this year, I don't think. We saw Artie come a few times last year. I'm not sure we've seen Sean Davis come. But so they're coming off that left side and they can do some different things. And with Bud Dupree there, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm still looking for him to bring Shazier off the edge. That's one of my favorite things. But I again think we'll see The Steelers look to bring some pressure on the not fleet-footed Mike Glennon.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. You know, the Buccaneers got up so heavy in that game, they were able to sit back and play a lot of zone in there. And Glennon even had problems with that on that one interception that he threw. I don't think they had a running back. I can't remember if that was a play they had a running back in the backfield or not. Without the use of any play action or whatnot, the linebacker was very easily didn't have to worry about the run, just ran with a tight end, and Glennon threw the ball right to him as well. But the big thing is, and like I said, he's going to try to get in. I think Glennon's going to try to get in one of those early rhythms. You'll see a lot of those, 7-yard, those skinny posts, or quick slants. And Glennon's good generally at connecting on those. So, I wouldn't want to sit back in zone and just let him have those easy throws. Remember that game last year against the Philadelphia Eagles when Carson Wentz just came out and, okay, that's what you're going to give me. I'm going to take it. You can't die by 1,000 paper cuts in this game. You had the personnel to play more man, some trap coverage or whatever, and I expect them to do that early in this game. I want to make Glennon earn those throws, and I want to make, I think he's only thrown something like 5 or 6 deep passes so far, David, in 2 games. I mean, and when you consider the margin of margin that they lost to the Bucks and how they kind of hung with the Falcons for a little bit in week one, he really hasn't thrown the ball, football down the field yet. Now, obviously, when you try, and Ben did a great job of telling the obvious the other day, anytime you want to try to take deep shots down the field, you better have protection to hold it up. So, how are their backs going to do? I want to present Glennon with some situations, and then backs in general, well, they have to account for an extra guy. I want to see just how knowledgeable those running backs are at picking some of that stuff up as well. So play him kind of tight early. Don't let Glennon get in a groove whatsoever. And I think I think the Bears are going to try to come out maybe and try to establish the run. But the way Cam Hayward and the rest of that front seven has been playing in general, they obviously didn't have a good start to that third quarter against the Vikings against the run, but stop the run on the early downs or only give up 2 or 3 yards via the pass on first down and get Glennon in those second and third longs, and you should be able to get off the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, this game, look, the Browns game is season opener. You look at it and you say, this is a game the Steelers should win. You've got a rookie quarterback. But it's the first game of the year. The Steelers obviously weren't overly impressive, and guys didn't get a lot of time in the preseason. The Vikings game, if you listen to the podcast on the Friday before, you heard me a bit nervous about what the Vikings offense was going to bring to the table. And then we didn't see Sam Bradford. So that's, that changed the dynamic significantly of what to expect in this game. I can't find something to be worried about in this game. And when we asked Eric at the end of the podcast on Wednesday, how do the Bears win the game? I mean, the obvious answer, and the only thing that, and I didn't have to even caveat it, is the only thing I can come up with is if they turn the ball over a bunch of times. I mean, if you lose the turnover battle by 3, you can lose to anybody. And that I would expect that to be the case if the Steelers were to lose the turnover battle that badly. But Dave, I can't find something in this game about the Bears, a player or a scheme or something about it that gives me concern. I really can't.
Yeah, I think even if you lose the overall tots battle, explosive plays and turnovers, even if you lose it by 2 or less, I think Steelers can still win this game. The worry is, the only way, I think you can is like you said, you turn the ball over twice, maybe you lose the big play differential by 2, and then you're at a tots of -4, and that normally spells doom, 80% of the time in all NFL games. So, look. just hold on to the football. Sometimes you'll have to walk off. Don't force it. You know, whatever you do, don't force it in situations trying to convert something or make a big play or something breaks down along those lines. Le'Veon Bell obviously has got a nice history of holding on to the football there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that's the only thing. I think if we're talking on Monday, and hopefully we won't, you know, talking about a Steelers loss, we're going to be saying it'll include something along the lines of, you know, my God, you know, you can't win. You can turn the football over that much.
Yeah, so that's it. And you know, when I was, you know, prepping for the podcast, thinking about exactly just going through the different things, I was just having trouble coming up with a ton of interesting things to say about the Bears. It's two games, you know, John Fox and this regime. I guess the question is maybe one of the more interesting questions for Bears fans. If the Steelers are up 21-3 in the first half, are we going to see Mitch Trubisky make his NFL debut? And that's something that certainly might, you know, could happen in this game.
And look, this Tariq Cohen, I mean, great start to the season. I think fourth in the NFL right now in total yards from scrimmage. But with that said, his successful play percentage is right around 33-34%. Okay, so it's, you know, what that tells you is most of that yardage has come on, you know, a handful of plays. And if you go back and look at that long run that he had against the Falcons in week one, what was it, 40 something yards, he was running to the left of the looked like the Falcons had him bottled up. He reversed his direction and they gave up contain on the opposite side of the field, and it was a broken play. Double explosive run. And you know, generally you would think that most defenses would be a little bit disciplined in those areas. Now, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but with that said, go look at several of his catches so far this season. They've been meaningless catches, if you will. You know, stuff on, you know, second and 20, third and 12 short of the chains type of catches. So, yes, he can. He's a nice little back, obviously can bust you for the explosive play. Consistent down-to-down basis kind of running back, I don't think he is, and the Steelers definitely can't let him be. Jordan Howard, of course, is really not that experienced of a guy either, and, you know, he's banged up on the injury report right now as well.
Okay, so anything further to add there?
Well, the Steelers, you know, we've talked about, what are they, 1-11 the last 12 trips to Chicago. They are right now, I think it's still 7.5-point road favorites against Chicago. I looked at under Mike Tomlin, when they're favored by 7 points or more, that's happened 44 times under Mike Tomlin that Steelers have been favored by 7 points or more. They have a 36-8 record in those games. Those eight games probably aren't hard for, Steelers fans can probably rattle them off to you. But with that said, they have a 11-5 record when favored by 7 or more points on the road. You know, I'm just saying.
That's not against the spread, right? That's wins, losses, right?
That's wins, losses. That's not against the man.
Yeah, right. Okay, good point. speaking of the man, Richard Sherman thinks that injury reports are useless and it's largely for gamblers.
We need some breaking news music.
Breaking news. Did Richard Sherman just get out of diapers? I mean, yeah. So, and then what? So what's his next earth-shattering point? I mean, okay, Richard, I get it. Richard Sherman's an interesting guy. You'd be remiss not to mention, you have to mention that he's from Stanford. So ergo, he's a smart guy every time you talk about him. But he says some off-the-wall stuff for sure. I mean, this is kind of out of the blue and not news, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. And look, when you have some of these teams like the Patriots floating around that put 14, 15 guys on the injury report, you don't know who's playing every week. I mean, we've seen Tomlin get a little bit loose with it with the thing with Bell, right? I mean,
and obviously for Seattle, the whole issue was Sherman's played with a sprained knee all last year, and had to have, get it, you know, I think he got it operated on at the end of the season, and they never put him on the injury report. His comment was, well, it's all nonsense. If you're going to play, what's the point of putting it on the injury report? So, I mean, that's kind of where he was coming from. And then he brought the gambling angle in, and then he really ripped the fantasy football folks after that as well. So, I don't know, Richard.
He's
slow news day.
He's kicking the NFL cash cow, isn't he?
He is. That's the golden goose.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. And the thing is too, Jesus, over the years, David, look at just last week. Perfect example. Sam Bradford, if not for the fact that if the Vikings carried three, were like most teams and carried three quarterbacks on their 53-man roster, would we have even probably, how shocked would we have been then last Sunday had Bradford not go? Now, they obviously, it's a huge tip-off when a team has to promote a third quarterback from their practice squad. I mean,
I think there are 10 or 12 teams only carrying two quarterbacks, just going back to our debate in years past about whether the Steelers should be carrying Landry Jones or not.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, look, I'm a huge fantasy football player, and I like to dabble with the man as well. But a lot of times these injury reports, how much really, setting lines, maybe, okay? But a clear advantage for a gambler or a fantasy football player, not so much, I don't think, these days.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty, yeah. Okay, so that was one of the stories of the week. How about the Brian Cushing story? And for those who don't know, Brian Cushing comes out of USC. I think he was rookie of the year. He gets busted for using PEDs, gets a 4-game suspension with the Texans. He just got suspended the second time. Used a substance that's banned by the league. And very interestingly, his agent, there's a story on Pro Football Talk today that Joe DeFranco, a personal trainer, his trainer, not his agent, who has worked with Cushing throughout his high school, college, and NFL careers, says that Cushing tested positive because he took DHEA, and he said he knows it's a banned substance. He didn't blame a tainted supplement. He knowingly took a banned substance. He's wrong. I don't agree with the decision. He's got to be punished, but he did it. And when Cushing apologized, he didn't offer any excuses, didn't say anything. Well, what do we make of Brian Cushing and his legacy here as a guy who has, I think you can say, twice now knowingly tested positive? He was a pretty good player. When a guy knowingly takes a substance, do we look at it as better or worse or no different than anything else?
Yeah, it's wrong, obviously. And how many times do these guys take the Adderall and by mistake or not by mistake? And if you knowingly do it and you get caught, really no sympathy for you, you know?
Yeah. I think we probably both agree that, 95% of the guys who get caught knowingly did it. I mean, it's the rare guy who, I didn't know or I didn't mean to.
He's always kind of looked roided up, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, this guy clearly, my takeaway is his entire career is now, it was probably tainted in my book anyway from the beginning. And not like there aren't guys who are in the league. And I always laugh about how, there is a moral crusade in the game of baseball when guys do something wrong in a football 4-game suspension. You can't even, you blink and another guy did it and nobody cares. It's just interesting how we look at it from a society of it is, people want to tar and feather and put them up on the cross in Major League Baseball. And in football, it's like, whatever, part of the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're more concerned. More people fighting for marijuana now. More fans fighting for usage of marijuana than, anything else right now, I think. The feedback that I see on Steelers Depot in the comments, there's a lot of people I think the majority would be fine if players were allowed to smoke marijuana.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, very few people care about that now. What is it? It's legal in 2/3 of the states or, something like that, 30 of the 50 states? I mean, it's getting close.
Boy, I opened up one of his local. In fact, I posted some pictures on Twitter this morning, local entertainment Vegas magazine here, just to see, you know, shows and all like that. Boy, the ads, you know,
to they, pot shops, the head shops.
Oh my God, makes me long for my younger days, David. I mean, some of these things now, you know, just I mean, blatant. You know, right out there, new strains available, and that kind of thing. It's just amazing. And yeah, I mean, for too long, it's going to be legal nationwide.
Aaron Hernandez back in the news today. They donated his brain. The test results have come back, and according to his lawyer, he has a severe case of CTE. And yeah, one of the things that's looking at this analytically, there's nothing interesting about anything that's happened with Aaron Hernandez in his career and his life, and it's all been tragic. But, Dave, he only played 40 games in the NFL. He stopped playing football at the age of 23, obviously, because he was jailed. And if you believe the findings, I mean, he had, you know, very, you know, severe case of this disease.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you know, hopefully they just learn more about it. You know, like we've talked in the past on a few shows, David, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, you know, 20 years from now, you know, what's the NFL going to be like? Is the NFL going to be here? What's the equipment going to look like? Because, I mean, they, you know, that the NFL has one major enemy right now, I think, and you know, outside of the NFLPA, obviously, it's the concussion problems.
No doubt. And, it, you know, and there's some point here, like the NBA, where the NFLPA and the NFL won't be adversarial. The NBA has gotten to a pretty good spot on that. Major League Baseball hasn't been quite as good. The NFL is obviously contentious, is probably the best word for it. But yeah, you know, for the sport to survive, they're going to have to figure it out together. And this just continues to raise the issue. And obviously the differentiating issue here, take away all the things that Aaron Hernandez did in his life, just looking at his football career and on the field, is he played at obviously incredibly high level, but he played for a very short period of time and he died as a young man. And so, it's hard to point to anything else in his life that happened other than football that might cause this. So if you buy into the science of what's been going on, this is a very big log on the fire of CTE and what it does.
And look, you got the players constantly pushing for less. You know, practices, less hitting, you know, less padded practices, each and every CBA. And then obviously the less you practice, probably, you know, like that, probably the more susceptible you're going to be to soft tissue injuries. You have to put backup players on the field and your product, the quality of your product probably suffers. And, you know, the whole thing, it's kind of a trickle down of effect, if you will. And look, I mean, we got people out there that can invent these never-ending spinners for kids to play with. You would think we would be a little bit further along, maybe in some equipment or whatnot. And I know it's easier said. I know it's easy for me to just throw it out there like, well, hey, just invent a better helmet or whatnot. But, you know, with all the money in the league and all like that, you would just think that, you know, maybe end all, do all, there's only so much you can do when it comes to the head and the brain, you know?
Yep. And it's going to be very interesting to watch this evolve over the next few years. We never talked about the Ezekiel Elliott thing about not running after the, you know, he got pretty roundly hammered for kind of walking off the field on a play where the ball was going the other way on a pick on their game on Sunday against Denver. Did you have a view on that?
I obviously watched the game and see his he didn't look like the happiest camper over there on the sideline.
No, he sure didn't.
And isn't he a team captain too, you know?
I don't know, but this is not the first time that it's been – I mean, he's got a little bit of a reputation of it's about me.
And, you know, but going back to those Cowboys, you know, Ben Roethlisberger said several times over the years, in fact, he reiterated it this, I think this past week as well, talking about some of the younger quarterbacks in the league. You know, guys like Dak Prescott, these guys that come out and have these hot rookie years, Roethlisberger's always like, yeah, come talk to me after about year three or year four, after defenses get a lot of tape on you and know how to adjust to you. Are we going to see that this year with these Cowboys? No. Now, granted, they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw of a defense, if you will, against the Broncos there. But you know, just interesting. And yeah, look, Zeke, he just didn't look like he was into the game there once the Cowboys were down big. And I could maybe tolerate that a little bit more, someone grumpy on the sideline if they're not a captain or whatnot. But someone as high profile as him, you better be up. You know, trying to get your teammates to rally around, you know, to play every down there. But
yeah, and for those who missed it, Tomlinson in the NFL Network said, you know, Elliott absolutely quit on his team today when he was talking about it Sunday night. Elliott responded today for the first time he spoke to the media. And when he asked about lack of effort, he said, I guess you could say it looked like that. I would say I was just very frustrated, but that's no excuse for the lack of effort I showed on tape. I just can't do that. Being one of the leaders on the team and being a guy that people count on, I can't put that type of stuff on film. I'm not sure you need to throw the on-film stuff in there. You just, like, I need to do it. But, you know, he acknowledged it and said they took care of it in-house. So, okay, should we get on to this week's picks?
One other thing. You know, we are always accused of being Ben Roethlisberger haters, which we're not. But we jokingly, a lot of times we'll talk about Roethlisberger and liking his receivers college open, if you will. He's made some incredible throws. I think when you go back and look at some of the tape here through the first two games, that throw to Jesse James in the end zone in week one, you know, I think we already kind of a little bit talked about that, but he really threaded the needle on that throw. And boy, go back and watch, and I wrote about this and did a film room segment on it a few days ago, that third down play in the third quarter with 7:32 left in the third quarter against the Vikings, the Steelers faced a third down and 12 at their own 25-yard line. Remember, they only had a 17-9 lead at the time. The Vikings had just scored and missed the extra point. And we're within eight at that time. So that's a fairly important possession there at midway through the third quarter there. Third and 12 at your own 25. If you don't convert there, you're putting it back. And Lord knows what can happen at that point. But, you know, they ran that kind of that skinny post, that slant to Martavis Bryant over the middle against a two-deep safety look that was guarding pretty much trying to guard the chains. They played a nice zone up underneath and really did a good job. And Roethlisberger put that ball in between the diamond. You'll see the still shot along with the gifs and the gifs up there that he really put that ball where only Martavis was going to get it. Now, Martavis caught it about a yard short of the sticks and, of course, took a hit and fell forward there. But just want to make sure we, as Hines Ward says, take our hat off and hand it to Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, that was just another great throw by him. In my opinion, there was a lot of key plays in that game, but I think that might be the most underestimated big play in that game was that conversion on third and 12.
Good point. I hadn't talked about it, didn't write about it, so good find by you. All right. The big news, maybe the biggest news on the injury front coming on a positive front, we don't get a lot of positive injury news, is Garrett Bowles, left tackle for the Broncos, who was thought maybe to be out for the year. He was carted off the field last week against the Cowboys, thought maybe to be out for the year, returned to practice today and has not been ruled out for this Sunday's game. So, you know, we know the struggles, you know, a lot of teams, you know, we can start with, you know, the good teams that have had struggles are Seattle, most notably, you know, a couple others with their offensive line. You saw what the Vikings struggled with. You talk about Denver. That offensive line has been a key to their success and will be a key with Simeon kind of having a very good start to this year. That's big news for them to get him back, Dave.
Absolutely it is. And, boy, we talked about it the other day when you talk about some of the offensive line play we've seen on some of the, especially some of these nationally televised games. There's not a lot of good depth in this league when it comes to offensive linemen. That's why, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see Hubbard play this week as well too, especially at right tackle. You know, he's a guy I've been kind of down on in the past, but the starts that he's made in place of Gilbert so far at right tackle, I thought have been above the line. And here's to hoping he has another above the line game against the Bears on Sunday if called upon.
Okay. Tonight's game, as we are just getting close to kickoff here, the Niners are a dog at home with Brian Hoyer. I think they're one of two teams along with who hasn't scored a touchdown? The Giants. The Giants haven't scored a touchdown yet. No, the Giants did score a touchdown.
The Bengals, right.
The Niners and the Bengals, I think two teams that haven't scored a touchdown. The Niners played Seattle tough last week, lost 12-9. They're getting 3 points at home. People talk about the Rams like they're the Rams of old. I wouldn't necessarily be so quick to be thinking of the Rams as the Rams of old. Dave, there's some question about declining attendance and all that kind of stuff. Apparently, there are going to be some empty seats tonight in Santa Clara, if that means anything to anybody. First of all, is this a game that you're excited? Like, you know, do you make plans to get in front of the TV and pay attention to this game?
Well, what did I tell you before we got on?
Let's get this thing done before the game's on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a football fan, David. You know, not the tastiest matchup, but look, I'm not going to miss it.
I'm going to watch it as well. I'm interested to see how Jared Goff looks, obviously. I'm looking to see what kind of offense the Niners run here with Mike Shanahan now. What's his name? Kyle Shanahan as the head coach. And I'm looking to see Aaron Donald back in action, because obviously it's great fun to watch him, and I don't get to see him play often enough. So I'm with you. I'm going to take the Rams minus the 3, Dave, on the road.
I'm going to take the – did you see that stat Gil Brandt posted this morning?
I missed it.
Go find that on Twitter. Pretty interesting. And because of that, and because I want to see George Kittle dress and have a good game tonight, I think the Rams get a late turnover or something from – I mean, the Niners get a late turnover off the Rams. I think the 49ers win this outright. So I want those 3 points.
In their last 22 games, I had seen this. The 49ers are 3-0 versus the Rams and 0-19 against every other team. So there you go. That's a good one. All right. I'm guessing you haven't had a chance to score our seasons to date. Is that correct?
No, and there was nothing. We lost a lot of people, a lot of money in week one. I'll tell you that. And I haven't even, I'm just way behind on my work right now. I haven't even tallied up week two yet.
All right. No worries. Game number two here. The Ravens at the Jaguars, but this game is actually in London, and the Ravens are favored by 3.5. What do you think?
The Ravens defense is just too good right now, I think. And I think that's going to be the difference in this game. Give me the Ravens in London to take care of business. I'll lay those 3.5 points.
Yeah, I really want to take the Jaguars. I, you know, felt really good about them after week one, and then they get smoked by the Titans on the road. You know, Bortles is, you know, there's no sign, there haven't been any signs of improvement for Blake Bortles for, you know, a year and a half here.
Hey, real quick, the Jaguars at least have some experience going over to London, don't they? Preparing for this, and just as a side note before you make your pick, remember the Ravens are over in London, and then you know they've got the long, you know, they got this game, and then they got the long flight home, and who do they get in week four?
Steelers, yeah. The Steelers get, you know, they get the Vikings. I think this happens throughout the season. They get teams on short weeks and stuff, and they get, you know, the Vikings off the Monday night game. They get the Ravens off. Off the trip to London, so yeah, benefit for the Steelers on that for sure. So we're both on the Ravens,
right?
So the Browns, you've heard the stats; they haven't been favored in a game. They haven't been favored in a road game forever. They've been favored in a road game 3 times in 10 years. The Colts have won, you know, the Colts have played an AFC Championship game more recently than the Browns have been favored on the road. Browns opened at 2.5; they're 1.5 now. Give me the Browns over the Colts -1.5.
Yeah, I think the main – and Sammy Coates is already on the Browns injury report, I think, with a hamstring.
Good gracious. And for those who didn't see, first play of the year, Sammy Coates, false start. false start for the Browns.
And did you see him lollygagging on one of those other plays that got posted on the Twitter machine this past week as well, too? Look, I think the difference in this game is just Greg Williams' defense, flat out. I think it's a low-scoring game. Of course, the Colts don't have luck. I think the Cleveland might be able to run the ball a little bit better. I think Njoku might have a good game at tight end as well, too. So, yeah, I'm with you. Give me the Browns, lay that point and a half on the road.
Lots of interesting stuff in Miami. Maybe there's I don't want to say an olive branch, but maybe it looks like there's at least a road to redemption for Lawrence Timmons to return to the Dolphins roster. Kind of the doors open. The defensive coordinator spoke today and said, he's there for Timmons to support him if he comes back to the team. And so that would suggest that that opportunity might exist. So that's nice to hear. We still haven't heard anything from Timmons and he's not with the team. So it's Dolphins -6 at the Jets, Dave.
I really want to look. The Dolphins are going to win, but I think the Jets show up, get a late score somehow in this thing to drive the man crazy. So give me the Jets +6 at home.
Yeah, I think the whole world's going to be on the Dolphins, so I'm going to go with you. Again, the backup quarterback thing, Josh McNown's been around enough. He's not the reason the Jets are losing. They're not a particularly good football team, and they didn't look very good against the Oakland on the road. But they played okay week one, so we'll see what they do at home. They haven't been home yet. This is their home opener, so I'll take them at home +6 as well. Denver -3 at the Bills. Give me the Broncos. And Dave, crazy as it sounds, I've watched Denver play now these first two games, and I'm kind of liking Trevor Siemian, and he might be a little bit more than the guy I thought he was originally.
I'm with you. He's had some nice games so far, but the internet keeps telling me he's not good. With that said, that defense, here's the thing. I think that defense is a little bit better this year than I thought it would be.
I agree.
I'm worried about Wade Phillips leaving and all like that. Look, some of those names haven't changed over there as well, too. As long as they're able to keep Tyrod Taylor from going crazy with his feet in this game, I think the Broncos should be fine. So I'm with you. I'm laying those 3 points on the road with Denver.
Pats -14 at home against the Texans. Very nice gesture of Tom Brady giving $100,000 and Bill Belichick $50,000 out of their own pocket to J.J. Watt's relief fund. Dave, this is going to be welcome to the NFL for Deshaun Watson. The Pats name the score here. I think they take him by 20+, even as good as I think the Texans defense is.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady would have to go down injured or something for this to be close. I just don't see it for all the reasons that you just said. I'm laying 14 points, Patriots at home against the rookie quarterback.
Saints getting 5.5 on the road against Carolina. The Saints' defensive troubles are well documented. The kid that they traded to Miami, if you didn't know this, he's a former first-round pick who was an inside linebacker who they moved to outside. When he goes to Miami, he'll come back inside. Obviously hadn't done a lot for a defense that hasn't done a lot. Another first-round pick, Kenny Vaccaro, the safety, he gets benched. Just wonder what's going on with that Saints defense. I don't love the Panthers. I like Christian McCaffrey. We'll see with Cam. Dave, I'm going to lay the 5.5, but this is probably a game I stay away from.
Yeah, and boy, I've let the Saints kill me so far this year, and I'm going to give them one more opportunity to kill me again. Give me those 5.5 points on the road. I think the Panthers win this, but I think it's a field goal game. So give me Saints +5.5.
Okay, Bucks getting 1.5 in Minnesota. I haven't been paying attention to Minnesota's injury report. I assume that means that we're going to see more of Case Keenum. I'm a big fan of the Bucs. I'm a big fan of the Vikings, too. But, again, I'm not knocking Case Keenum. But I'm going to take the Bucs on the road here. I don't love it, but this would be a game that I would like to watch. I won't be able to watch it because it would be the same time as the Steelers. But I'll take the Bucs +1.5.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it. I think that Vikings defense is for real. I think they're going to cause Jameis Winston some problem, maybe get some short fields for the offense there. And look, I like look, we just got done previewing that team. There's a lot to like about that Vikings team, both on offense and defense. I'm easily going to play this one. Give me the Vikings, lay that point and a half.
Another favorite game here in the NFC, the Falcons giving 3 to Detroit in Detroit. If you watched Detroit play at all, you see what Matthew Stafford's done. Matthew Stafford is the real deal in the NFL. He is certainly a top 10 quarterback, and he's making a case to kind of be up in that top echelon of quarterbacks, you know, the top 6 or 7. They get a win this week, and he might, you know, he might be certainly in that conversation here. And I'm going to take him. I'm going to take the Lions +3 at home in a high scoring game where the over under is 50.5, and I'll bet they go over 60.
What'd you say? You're showing 3 on this?
3, yes.
Does Greg Robinson still play left tackle for the Lions?
Yep, he does.
That's all I need to hear. Falcons lay those 3 points.
You like the over under is 50.5. You like the over in that?
No, I'll take the under.
Okay. All right. Eagles -6 against the Giants. Give me the Eagles. This is another 1 o'clock game in the NFC. 3 in a row here. They're kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The Giants season would be over here if they lose this one, I think.
Yeah. Does
two losses in the division.
Does Eric Flowers still play left tackle for the Giants?
He does.
All right.
He does.
Eagles -6.
All right. The Giants would be 0-3 with two losses. And I can't remember who they played in the opener, but they
The Cowboys, right?
The Cowboys in the opener and then Detroit. So they'll have 3 in the conference and 2 in the division if they lose this one. Very interesting game at 4:05. This one we get to watch. Put your televisions on this one, folks. The Titans hosting the Seahawks, two teams that obviously never play each other once every 4 years, -2.5 for the Titans at home. And the Seahawks offense, loads of problems as they continue their bad Septembers. Problems at left tackle. Russell Wilson maybe getting some happy feet back there, which we haven't seen a lot of. Dave, the Titans at home, I'd like them -2.5. Give me the Titans.
Boy, this has throw your money right off the rooftop written all over it, doesn't it? To me, it does.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, that old story, rest in peace, my father. He used to tell me stories early on when I would come home from school, play, you know, gambling dice or whatnot. He'd say, David, he said, you must not think much of money because anytime you gamble, that's just like going up. Taking a ladder, getting up on the roof, and throwing your money right off the roof. Well, I didn't learn my lesson, Pop. With that said, look, I mean, Dick LeBeau, I think, has had a couple of issues in the past against the Seahawks. But with that said, I think the Titans at home, that whole East Coast, West Coast thing, I'm fine with it. Give me Titans, lay that 2.5.
Chiefs, Chargers, Chiefs on the road, -3. Boy, for the Chargers. If you read much about the NFL, everybody's writing about the Chargers, talking about how many close games they've lost over the last 2 years. They lose in week one on that field goal made, what was called back because Vance Joseph called timeout against, or the opposing coach called timeout, and then they get it blocked, and then the kid Koo, the Korean-born kicker, misses the game winner in this against the Dolphins last week. They're at home. They're getting 3 against a Chiefs team that looks astoundingly good. We think of Alex Smith as game manager. Get that out of your mind, because the versatility of their offense that Kareem Hunt and Kelsey bring to this now, they run a ton of formations, a ton of different things offensively. It's hard not to like the Chiefs right now, Dave, and I'm going to take them on the road. You'll remember this game last year in San Diego, first week of the season. I think the Chargers were up 24 in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs came back and won. I think they'll win this one more comfortably. I got them by a touchdown.
Yeah, you remember this old man, Philip Rivers, still plays over there at that, you know.
I hope they get one here. If you're a Steeler fan, you're rooting for the Chargers.
And I think some kid named Bosa, who played at Ohio State, plays over there as well. Boy, what a disruptive guy that guy is. You know what? This is my look, folks. Play this, and if you lose, the rest of the picks are free.
Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week. Lock of the Week. The Century.
Lock of the. This is the Stone Cold Lock of the Century of the Week, and it's Chargers +3.
Bengals at the Packers. Packers -9. Too much trouble in Cincinnati. This might be their end. Give me the Pack.
I smell a rat here. I think the Packers win this. I think 9's too much, David. I really do. Give me the Bengals plus those 9 points.
All right. And Raiders at the Skins. By the way, this is the Sunday night game, Raiders at the Skins. This is an interesting game. This will be a fun one to watch on Sunday night. Oakland minus three in Washington. I'll go against the grain here and take the Skins.
Yikes. Man.
Plus three at home on national TV on a Sunday night. This is showtime, man. You better win that game.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, they really can't afford to lose this one. You want to talk about backs against a wall right now. You know what? I'll go with you, David. I don't have a lot of confidence in this one, obviously. Yeah, I'm with you. Give me the Redskins plus the three.
All right. And the Monday night game, boy, we're getting punished with, you know, Cowboys and Giants every Sunday or Monday night. It is – people will be saying the same about the Steelers' second half. But it's Cowboys minus three at Arizona. I do think Arizona's that bad. So they lost at Detroit. They snuck a win out. This will be their first home game. That's their big advantage. But I'll take the Cowboys off the loss minus three.
You know what? I think this is the week Arizona rebounds there. Dallas didn't look great, last week there. I think Arians sneaks one out here. I think they get a field goal, whether late regulation or in overtime or something like that, to win it outright. So give me the Cardinals plus three.
All right. That brings us to the Steelers. We got a lot of differences this week. I don't think we're going to have a difference here. The line I'm showing is now down to seven. If you're a Steeler fan, I don't think you're ever going to see 6.5. If you're of the gambling nature, I would take seven when you get that opportunity and do with it what you like. But, Dave, I like the Steelers very comfortably in this one. I haven't picked them to score a ton of points so far this year. I expect it to all come together in this game in a laugher, as they say. The Steelers 31-13 for all the things we talked about in the first half of the podcast. I won't repeat them. I just don't see anything about the Bears that scares me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, everything points, but we've said this before, though. Everything points to a big Steelers win here.
We said it most recently when they were headed to Miami, and, you know, they'd already had the loss on the road to Philadelphia, and we didn't see it happening again, and boy, did they get smoked again.
Yeah, I like them probably. I like that 31 of yours, too. I'll go 31-16. How's that?
All right. Well, that's good. And we'll happily talk about a result like that on Monday.
Sure, we will. And folks, as always, thanks for all that. We got a lot of great emails this week. We really, really did. David's, I think, taking time to respond to most of them there already. We certainly do appreciate those. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, this show was recorded Thursday night before the Thursday night football game kicked off there. So obviously it won't be up to date with the Steelers Friday injury report. You can find all the latest updated news and the injury report Friday on SteelersDepot.com as well too. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button up right, navigational bar. David, have a safe trip there, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, catch us on Twitter for the game. Dave and I will both be tweeting. I'll be back in front of a normal computer, so no crazy tweets off my iPhone. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.